So good to just be moving forward as a church. I don't know about you, moving forward. And I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about what God is doing. Are you excited?
Yes.
Just double checking. So I'm glad that you're excited. Today I'm going to finish a series of messages. We've been looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We've been looking at how the Holy Spirit is the author of new life. He created everything along with the Son, the Word of God. We've thought about how the Holy Spirit works, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And today, this is Pentecost Sunday. And for a change, I'm talking about Pentecost. I usually miss Pentecost Sunday and preach about something else, but I'm going to focus on Pentecost Sunday today. And I want to start by saying this. I'm going to start by reading this scripture, sorry. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That "you" is plural. He was speaking to everyone. You guys, you wonderful group of people will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And as we think about that verse, and last week we thought about the gifts of the Spirit, and we talked a little bit about tongues, and tongues is part of the Acts story. It's part of this story. But I want us to remember this. The purpose of Pentecost is mission. That's the purpose of Pentecost. It's not that we have great experiences. It's not that the Holy Spirit does weird and wonderful things, although that can happen as well. The purpose of Pentecost is mission. If you forget everything I say today, remember that one important thing. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Jesus commissions the disciples that they need to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And God has a heart for the nations, not just one nation, but many, all nations. God is a missional God. From the very beginning, the church began as a missional community. I want you to remember that phrase, a missional community. Excuse me. Because we are a missional community. And today, still, the baptism of the Spirit is to empower us for mission. That's the purpose of the baptism of the Spirit, even today, to empower us for mission. We can get so caught up in the manifestation of the Spirit that we miss the mission of the Spirit. And I hope you get the picture between what I've already shared in church life and what I'm going to share today, that it's not just one or the other. It's both and. It's about all these things coming together. Why Pentecost? Pentecost remembers the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. When Moses went up the mountain and he received the law from God, that is when Jews now remember the day of Pentecost. 7 weeks after the Exodus from Egypt, which was effectively the birth of Judaism. That's what Pentecost is about. That's what they remember year by year. But what was born on the Pentecost Sunday that we are thinking about today? What was born? The church. The church was born on Pentecost. Isn't that incredible? The two things come together. There's that picture in the Old Testament and this new fulfillment in the New Testament. I want to think about three things just quickly. And the first one is the prerequisite for Pentecost. The plan and purpose of God was to empower the church, the fledgling church. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." God is not confining his Spirit now to just one people group, but to all people. This is a fulfillment, or the beginning of a fulfillment, of a prophecy where God is going to pour out his Spirit on all people, male, female, old people, young people, children. God is pouring out his Spirit on all people. Mark chapter 1, verse 8, John said this, "I, John, baptize you with water, but he," talking about Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John was speaking as a prophet when he declared that Jesus was the Messiah, and he foresaw what would come as a fulfillment of Scripture and prophesied specifically about Pentecost, where that baptism of the Spirit would come on that particular day. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Wait for the gift my Father promised." Do you know, it's so tempting for us to hear a word from God and to rush out and to try and accomplish that word in our own strength, to try and make prophecies happen through our effort. Let me just clarify something. We need to wait in God's timing. When God has said something, he will make it happen. Our job is to get ourselves positioned and to be praying and to be seeking what God is going to do. We have to wait. They had to wait for the gift of the Spirit. We have to wait on God's command. And maybe some of us need to wait on that gift of the Spirit as well. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was imminent. Wouldn't it be good if we had the prophetic word that said, in a few days, this is going to happen? I'm like, Lord, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When are you going to fulfill these words over the church? But they were waiting as a matter of a few days. And Jesus said this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus was speaking of what was going to come. And Joel had prophesied this moment would come. John had prophesied this moment would come. And even Jesus, the chief shepherd and chief prophet, he prophesied that this would come. I wonder, do you get excited at the thought of living in the day when a prophecy is fulfilled? See, when God has spoken something and you see it come into fulfillment, you go, wow, I'm here and I'm part of this. Imagine being a disciple and seeing all this happening back 2,000 years ago. Incredible. When God says something, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. The other aspect in terms of prerequisite for Pentecost is the unity. When the day of Pentecost came, or during the arriving of the day of Pentecost, they were all together. They were in the one place. And it says that the people were of one accord. That's an old translation. They were one of one accord. That doesn't mean they were car sharing, okay? For those who remember that particular brand of car. And I just wanted to highlight this. They were one people in one place with one purpose, waiting on power. One people in one place with one purpose, waiting on power. Waiting on the floodgates of heaven to open up and for the Holy Spirit to come. And I want to suggest that this is so important for us as a church today. And that's why Monday's important, that's why Tuesday's important, that's why Wednesday the 31st at 7:45, 1,000 screens is important. One people, okay, we're going to be in Zoom, so we're not quite in one place, but we're one purpose, to see God move in the church. What does Psalm 133 say? How blessed it is when kindred, brothers and sisters, live together in unity, because there God commands the blessing. When we are living together in unity, then God commands the blessing. That's the prerequisite for God's blessing. The prerequisite for Pentecost was that they were together, of one mind and of one purpose. And there's significance to the timing of Pentecost. On that Sunday, on that Pentecost, the Jews had gathered for the feast from all over the known part of the world. I think I counted 14 people groups that were mentioned. And it was all part of God's plan to do what? To take the good news to the nations. Not to confine it, but to take it to the nations. Yes, to start in Jerusalem, but move out in concentric circles that we had in the screen earlier. I want to think a wee bit about the pictures of Pentecost. Two pictures that we see in the book of Acts here. Wind and fire. These are symbols of the presence of God, the personal presence of God. And they're used actually throughout Scripture to speak about God's presence with human beings. We thought recently about the Holy Spirit as the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the wind, the Holy Spirit. And we were talking about this in Treasure Kids on Wednesday night, believe it or not. And we had a wee group sitting on the floor there. And I was like, say Ruach. And they were like, saying Ruach. I'm like, why am I teaching kids Hebrew? This is just crazy. But I was like, now put your hand in front of your mouth. Ruach. Right, give it a wee try. Just humor me, okay? Just say Ruach and put your hand in. Ruach. Ruach. Can you feel your breath hitting your hand? Yeah, good. The very breath of God, and here we find that breath filling the whole room. It was like the sound of a rushing wind. The New Testament Testament word is pneuma. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Does it remind you of anything? A wind that comes from God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. We thought about this in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, was hovering over the waters. The breath of God. It's about to create something. And the Word of God comes with the breath of God. And in the beginning, God began to create. And it's incredible to think that the same picture is here in the book of Acts. The very breath of God, the wind of the Spirit, is here. It came from heaven. It was audible. There was a sound. And it wasn't gentle. It was like a violent wind. Does anybody remember? Some of you are too young in this place to remember this, okay? The Great Boxing Day Storm, 1998. Does anybody remember that? It was actually called Storm Stephen, believe it or not. I thought that was quite funny. But I remember that night. Sarah was just a wee baby, and I actually thought that night the roof was going to blow off the house. Right? I was so apprehensive that I took my car outside and parked it out in that wee bit of road out front, and I parked the car at an angle so that the prevailing wind would hit the corner of the car and go like that. It was so strong I thought it would blow the car over. It was a bit crazy probably, a bit paranoid, but it was so windy. And that's probably one of the only times that Sarah was in with us and we're like, what's going to happen? And you woke up the following morning, there was chaos everywhere. The side of the shed had blown in, the fence had blown down, the house was still there. So it tried. Storm Stephen huffed and it puffed, but it couldn't blow the house down, thankfully. But imagine this, and imagine this happened, maybe in a time when we had gathered with one mind and one purpose to seek God, and imagine we experienced the same thing. How incredible would that be, where we actually feel physically the presence of God, and God can do these things. The second symbol or picture of Pentecost is fire. Fire also representing the presence of God. Can anybody remember where fire is first mentioned in the Bible? Anybody remember? There was an angel, there was a cherubim with a flaming sword to stop Adam and Eve from coming back into the garden and eating of the tree of life. It's like, get out. A very negative reference to fire. But there are really interesting references to fire in the Old Testament. Think about this one, Exodus 3:2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. Have you ever thought about what it must have been like on the day of Pentecost? Tongues of fire resting on their head. Maybe that's... Oh, no, I'm not going to make that joke. Sorry. I can't. I'll get into trouble. Anyway, think about this. Here's Moses standing in the front of a bush, and the voice of God speaks to him from the bush, and he says, take off your sandals, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground. There's something about that moment where God had appeared, and it was a physical manifestation, and it was so holy that he had to take his shoes off as he approached the burning bush, a symbol of the presence of God. Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Again, the presence of God being manifest in a way that people could see it. And as we said earlier, that's the day that Judaism was born, that the Jewish church, if you like, was born on Mount Sinai when the law was given. But it was symbolized by fire. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. Again, the presence of God coming down in one place, and there's that physical manifestation, and it looks like fire. Last one, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It's incredible. Moses, standing in front of a bush, he receives the command to go and rescue God's people from Israel. He does that. They come out, and 50 days later, he's up on top of a mountain where there's fire present, the presence of God. He speaks to God, and God speaks to him, and he's given the commandments, and Judaism is born. And God gives them further commandments to build a tabernacle, a place where God would meet with people, and they build this tent, which they dismantle, and then they reassemble, and they carry it through the wilderness with them, somewhere where God meets. And then lastly, they build an actual temple made of stone, and it's incredible, Solomon's temple, which was destroyed by the Babylonians. And again, there's that symbol, that picture of fire, as God's presence comes and fills the temple. Think about Acts chapter 2, verse 3. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. On each of them. Now the presence of God isn't limited to a bush or to a tent or to a building. Now the presence of God is with the people of God who are filled with the Spirit of God. We have and we carry the very presence of God. Wherever we go, we carry the presence of God. Don't you think that's incredible? On the day of Pentecost, what was born? The church was born. And the church, you and I, people who follow Jesus, have the Holy Spirit within, and we carry the presence of God wherever we go. Wherever you find yourself, in your family, in your street, in your workplace, your college, your university, wherever you find yourself, you carry the presence of God into that place. And so fire is a picture of Pentecost. It's another aspect. And as we think about that, not just for one place, not just in a building. God's not limited to this building. And God, and it was just like that picture of the river flowing out. I know I'm mixing my metaphors, but there's something about us when we get connected with God that he can work through us in an incredible way. It rested in each and every one, and it's incredible. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3:16? Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? You are the temple. We together, the church across our nation, across the world, we are the temple of God. We are the place where the Holy Spirit now lives. The last thing is the power of Pentecost. They were filled to capacity. They were filled to the brim, and they were filled to overflowing. And if you think about Peter, who only a few weeks earlier had been saying to somebody, a little girl standing around a fire, I don't know this Jesus. And here is this Peter now, who stands up along with the others and begins to declare the message of God with boldness. What changed? That power that came as a result of Pentecost Sunday. They were filled with power. What happens when you try to fill a glass full of water that's already full? It flows over the edge. Do you know, this is where I try to stay as far as what I share on a Sunday is concerned and ministry and church. I've been in places where I've been scraping the bottom of the barrel, if I can be totally honest with you. You're just right at the bottom of the cup. And you're like, Lord, what am I going to say this week? What am I going to say this week? And we can be in that place as well. Lord, what am I going to say to this person? I don't have the words. I don't know that I've got anything to offer this person who's come to me, this person who's needing help, this person who's needing prayer, this person who's needing a miracle. And we can live from the bottom of the cup. But I really believe that what God wants to do in each one of us is to fill us every day so that we're overflowing, so that what is coming out of us is that which is blessing other people. We're not scraping the bottom of the barrel to try and find a way to bless somebody or to pray for somebody or to tell somebody about Jesus. It's overflowing from within us. And I think that's what happened on Pentecost. They were so filled with the Spirit that they couldn't contain it. And they began to speak in languages they'd never learned. What happens to a river when it bursts its bank, to use a slightly different analogy? I've actually sat on that bridge having my sandwich when I was out on a cycle. And to see that picture, if you've been to Thankerton and you know where that is, the river's a way, way down. The river's a way down, way below the bridge. And you can see that the whole area is flooded. There's such a deluge that the banks of the river can't contain it. I used to live next to the Clyde, and I've seen it flood. And it's an awesome thing to watch a river flood. And I think that's what God wants to do in his church. Not just this church, but the church. I think that's part of why we come together to pray on the 31st Wednesday at 7:45, where there's 1,000 screens, and we can be one of them. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. And we can come together and seek God with one heart, with one mind, and one purpose, and ask that God would pour out what our society needs. We're living in a world which needs to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Not wise words, not persuasive arguments, and I value both of those. And I have tried to study the Word of God and study what I communicate to try and make sure that I make sense, given a reason for the hope that lies within me, the words, the logos, the reason. But there's something about when the Holy Spirit takes that and brings that to life. And that's where we are, I think, today. That's what we're seeking God for. In this case, they spoke out. They spoke forth, they pronounced not just an everyday word, but they had what would be called dignified or elevated speech. God gave them the words to speak, and God moved through them. And their speech was prophetic, and it was bold. And that day, 3,000 people were added to the church. 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. What would we do if 3,000 people were added to the church in Whitburn in one day? I'll tell you what would happen. At this point in time, some of them would slip out the holes in the net. That's what would happen. Some of them would slip out the holes in the net. And so we need to get the net fixed. We need to get how we do things fixed. And I'm not saying it's wrong or bad, but we need to get it fixed. That's part of where we are. Imagine 3,000 people in Whitburn next Sunday, all of a sudden, were flocking into churches. That would be incredible, wouldn't it? God can do these things, but our society needs to see a demonstration of the power of God. This is how God equips the church for mission. We can't do it in our own strength. I know that when I experienced the Holy Spirit in a fresh way, in the way that, a similar way to what we're talking about, but I look at what I experienced and I think it's nothing to what these guys experienced. But something happened in me and it changed my life forever. And so I encourage us to seek after these things. But the purpose of Pentecost is mission. I don't know about you, I need to be filled with the Spirit. I think we need to be filled with the Spirit. And there's a promise of power that when we are filled with the Spirit, we're able to speak with boldness. In fact, I've got a wee note here. I'm going to read something. I referred to this earlier. I hadn't planned necessarily to say this. But it's something I came across as I was reading a letter by somebody called Dorothy Sayers. And she said this: the people who hanged Christ never, to do them justice, accused him of being a bore. On the contrary, they thought him too dynamic to be safe. It has been left for later generations to muffle up that shattering personality and surround him with an atmosphere of tedium. We have very efficiently pared the claws of the Lion of Judah, certified him meek and mild, and recommended him as a fitting household pet for pale curates and pious old ladies. That was written back in the 40s. Have we tried to file down the claws of the Lion of Judah? Have we tried to make Jesus so meek and mild that he's lost his power? We're talking about somebody, and we sang about it this morning, who's going to come back and who's going to rule and reign, supreme. In the earth. That's an awesome thought. And we have the opportunity to come and to meet with that God. I want us to think about how we respond to what God has sent to us as individuals, as families, as a church. Do you know, the reason we started doing the encounter evening is that we can come together and seek God's face together and just seek that which God wants to do in us. Sometimes it's like we need to be getting prayer for healing, or we're praying that God will come and fill us afresh. Whatever we need, we come together as a church to seek him for that. And so I want to encourage you to come to encounter evening and really seek God. It's one thing to say, stick up a hand in a meeting to say that you want to respond to this. I've said this before. If we want to respond to what God is saying, we need to put it in our diary, right? We need to put it in our diary and we say, I'm going to be there. I'm going to make that a priority. I'm going to make the coming together of the group of Christians in this church a priority and seek God's face. And I want to share on Tuesday night as we come together for an encounter evening, just a few things from a prophetic word given many years ago into Scotland and into the UK by a lady called Jean Dernal. And I want to just quote this little bit from what she said. She said, the Lord Jesus said he would make them very hungry, the people in the church, for the Holy Spirit. He would fill them with the Holy Spirit and give them gifts of the Spirit. And out of those gifts would flow ministries that would enrich the body of Christ. She said that many years ago. And I think we're coming to a time where we're going to see that word fulfilled. Other people who handle prophetic words have read that, prayed over it, tested it, and feel that it fits in into our nation. And I kind of submit to them in a sense. But God wants to do something fresh in our nation. And I encourage you and challenge you to be part of what God wants to do. Let's just close our eyes and let's bow our heads just for a moment as we finish off our time together today in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can see down through history your purpose for your church, your purpose for your people. Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus to allow us to be what you call us to be. It's only in him that we find this fulfillment. It's only in him that we have that relationship restored with you. And Father, we just pray that you lead us into all the things that you have for us. Lord, that you'd open up these things to us. Lord, we pray that you'd create a hunger within us for more of your Spirit. Father, that you'd create a passion in our hearts for the mission. Lord, the mission is to reach people with the gospel. The mission is to win people for Christ. The mission is to grow people into disciples. And Father, the mission is to serve you in our time and in our generation in the many, many ways that we can serve. And so, Father, we pray that you would call us into the mission, that you'd make our calling sure. And Father, that you'd clarify that sense of call. Father, that you'd impart fresh gifts of the Spirit into your church. Lord, that we'd be able to minister to not just a local church, but wider and further afield than that. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd do these things in your church. Lord, we just submit ourselves to you. And Father, we just ask that you'd move in our hearts. Lord, that you'd stir up a passion, stir up a hunger within us. Lord, we just pray at the same time as we've been thinking about the Holy Spirit today, Father, that you'd stir up a passion for your word as well today. Father, that you'd stir something within our hearts, that we would be excited about what you have said down through generations, down through time, and Father, to understand how that impacts on our lives, our families, our churches, our streets, our communities, our businesses, our workplaces, our schools, our colleges, our universities, wherever we find ourselves. Father, we pray. We pray that you'd help us to carry these things wherever you take us. Father, to carry the word, but to carry the Spirit. And Father, that those two would come together in such a powerful way. Lord, we just pray, do a fresh thing in our nation. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Oh, God's people said, amen. May the Lord bless you, and may your week be prosperous, and happy and healthy and whole, and the Lord be with you in all that you do. Please stay for tea and coffee. Robert's going to volunteer to serve the tea today. Thank you very much. If you're able to help him, please do so.